But then I made a discovery that was just awesome. It was just awesome. And it really helped. It really helped to put all the pieces together, and I get to share it with you. So here's the thing. There's one other sacrifice that was happening in the temple when Jesus was crucified on whatever day it was, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. It was a perpetual sacrifice that they called the Tamid, T-A-M-I-D. The perpetual sacrifice was made every day at 9 a.m. and at 3 p.m. And we read about this in Numbers 28 and in Exodus 29. I mean, it was part of the ceremonial law that every day a lamb was to be sacrificed at 9 a.m. And it didn't say 9, but that's the time that first century Jews adopted, 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Huh. Yes. So here's the thing. This is how it went. According to the Torah, twice a day, in the morning and the evening, an unblemished male lamb was to be sacrificed in the sanctuary, along with an unbloody sacrifice of flour or unleavened bread and wine. Unleavened bread and wine. There's some awesome symbolism there. And it took place at 9 and at 3. And there's other things that went along with it about when they chose the lambs and when they... That just was really, really cool. So there's no reason to try to force a connection between Jesus' death and the death of the Passover lambs, which happened on Thursday. I'm not going to go there again. But because there was another sacrificial lamb that was directly linked to atonement, which was being offered at the very time that Jesus was hanging on the cross and that he died. Mark tells us twice that Jesus died at 3 o'clock. And I think Mark is showing that Jesus is the true Tamid, the true perpetual sacrifice. And there's one other really cool thing. When the Tamid sacrifices were offered morning and night, morning and afternoon, there were also certain prayers that went along with the offering of the sacrifice, and it was called the 18 benedictions. So, Jews would have been praying in the temple while the Tamid was being sacrificed and while Jesus was hanging on the cross. At 9 a.m. and 3 p.m., the Jews in the temple praying the 18 benedictions would have been praying for things like this. Redemption, which is the seventh benediction. Forgiveness of sins, which is the sixth benediction. They would have been praying for the coming of the Messiah, which is the 15th benediction. And they would have been praying for the resurrection of the dead, which is the second benediction. I'm not going to go through all of them, but... So, basically, there were worshipers in the temple praying for what was taking place at that very moment.
And they were there to witness the
coming. Yes, that's what I was just going to say. There would have been people there praying when the curtain in the temple ripped in two. Now, the curtain was in a place where most worshipers were not allowed to go. But if there were sacrifices being offered in the holy place, not the most holy place, but in the holy place, there were priests in there, and that curtain ripped in two, and all of a sudden the Holy of Holies is being exposed, I can guarantee something happened in the temple.
Well, I bet you the bells in that tunic jingled in that moment, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, how, what kind of chaos and uproar and everything would have happened in the temple when that curtain ripped in two? I mean, what kind of buzz was there among the other people that were praying? I mean, that had to be exciting. That was a big deal. That was a big, big deal.
Julie, the
yes.
Other thing I keep thinking about is, or I know, in Catholic Church, Mass and the Eucharist have to be celebrated every day. I mean, in any Catholic church, the Eucharist is celebrated every day. And when you talk about the perpetual sacrifice, that it would be offered every day, I mean, that's, to me, that's connected.
Could be. It could be.
Or not. No, I know.
Well, here's what I want to leave you with, okay?
Try to make this Catholic.
Here's what I want to leave you with. That Jesus Christ is not just the Passover lamb. He's the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is not just the Passover lamb. He's the Lamb of God. When Jesus went to the cross, he represented all the sacrifices that God set up in his plan of redemption. Jesus is the completion of the redemptive system that God initiated in the story of his people. I mean, that's all of the stuff that I talked about, the law, the priesthood, the temple, the system of sacrifice. Jesus is all those things. Jesus is our priest. Jesus was our sacrifice. You know, the temple was his body. I mean, scripture talks all about it. It's just fascinating. All of that symbolism. So, what happened on the cross and what happened this week of Passover was huge in the big story, in fulfilling the big story. Right? Huge. All right. That's all I got. Questions, comments, points of rebuttal, things burning on your heart, and I'm 10 minutes early.
Wow.
I know.
So when the curtain was torn,
that was jingle.
What did they find behind them?
Oh, you had to say that, didn't you? Okay. So what's supposed to be in the Holy of Holies, in the most holy place?
The Ark of the Covenant.
The Ark of the Covenant is supposed to be there. So, but it wasn't. Because the Ark of the Covenant, well, we all know where it is. It's in a warehouse somewhere.
Yes, in a box.
With the U.S. Army.
With the burns on it.
No, the Ark of the Covenant disappeared from history at some point. And so Steve and I were talking about this week because it's just pretty interesting. At some point in Judah's, which is the southern kingdom, which we talked about in Essential Old Testament, at some point during that time period, the ark disappeared, and they don't know who took it. They don't know where it is. They don't know if it got, like, kidnapped, or if they knew that they were going to get captured, and so the priests took it and hid it. They don't know. It has disappeared. There's also supposedly in Ethiopia a church called St. Mary's that has the ark, and there's a monk that protects it. I imagine him being like the Knights of the... Remember? Yeah, that guy in the other Indiana Jones movie. That's what I imagine. It's a guy like that guarding the ark. But no one's ever seen it to really verify. But so here's the thing. I said, you know, Steve and I were talking about this. I'm like, okay, so the high priest was supposed to go in to the Holy of Holies one day a year to make atonement on the Day of Atonement. What happened on that one time when he went in there and it's gone? He
probably died of a heart attack.
Because it was there when I went there last year, and now I'm going in this year and it's not there. Is that how it happened? Or did he know it was gone? How long did they hide it from people? The high priest was the only one that went in there. The high priest is the only one that would have known that it was there or not there. Did he keep it secret from everybody? And did he make everybody think that the Ark of the Covenant was there? I don't know. Those are some great questions, aren't they? So, how shocking, although maybe it wasn't shocking for people when the curtain ripped in two. I mean, it might have been common knowledge at that time that the ark was gone, but it was an empty room at that point. So, anyway. Okay, any other thoughts?
Well, they wouldn't know. They had never been in there, so.
Right, but they knew what was supposed to be in there.
I think the shot would be that the curtain tore for no
reason. Totally. From top to bottom.
Yeah. The sacrifice, according to law, included the ark.
Yes.
Then all of those years without it, would they be not observing the sacrifice correctly?
Evidently. I mean, think of the ramifications of all that. It was a lot of years that the ark was gone. So, really interesting.